Take our Bibles, please, to 2 Peter this morning. 2 Peter. Thank you for that choir. Blessing. Let's go to 2 Peter. And we're going to look at chapter 2 this morning of 2 Peter. And as we've been going through the series during camp, we've been looking at some of the warnings that the scriptures teach us in 2 Peter. And we looked at warning about the followers of fables. But then this morning, we're going to be looking at what the Bible teaches in regards to the warning about the false teachers. And chapter 2 of 2 Peter is a wonderful passage of scripture that you can go to, and really you can find out three things: their condemnation, their character, and the claims of these false teachers. And we, as God's people, in our day like today, we have to be discerning. We need to know the Word of God, and we need to actually discern whether these people are true teachers of the Word of God or false teachers of the Word of God. And so this is why we need to know our sword, which is the Word of God. And let's read from in chapter 2, please. In verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible reads, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, whom privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Let's pray. Father, we just do come before your throne of grace, asking for help for this morning. I pray for help to preach this message, and also I pray, Lord God, that you would give the hearers help to hear it, Lord, and take heed to it. We pray your Spirit would move in our hearts at this time, and that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified, for it's in his name we do pray. Amen. Here we see in the Bible that Peter was writing to these believers, and he writes this specifically: "But there were false prophets also among the people." When was there false prophets among the people? That was in the time of the Old Testament. There were many false prophets that Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all of the prophets warned against, and saying, you know what, God has not called these prophets, and they preach. They say, "Thus saith the Lord," but the word of God is not with them. And so what he refers to is the Old Testament passage, where the Old Testament passage is where there were false prophet after false prophet. Did not God send the men of God to the kings of Israel? And many of them chose to listen to the message of the false prophets rather than the message of the true prophets of God. And so what we see here is that Peter shifts their attention back to the past, and he says this is not a new thing. But then, look at this, please. Don't miss this. He says, even as there shall be false teachers among, what's that word? And so there was a warning now, where he was saying that there are going to be false teachers among you. And who's he speaking to? Christians. And it's no surprise that Satan, when he wants to destroy a church, when he wants to destroy a group of people or a home, he'll bring in false teaching. And the way that he'll bring it is through individuals that come walking through your door. And this is where he gives that warning, that there is that false teachers that are going to come among you. Go with me to Acts, please, and I'll show you this in Acts chapter 20. And this is why we are opening the Word of God, and we're contending for the faith, and we need to take heed to the warnings found in the Word of God. And there in Acts chapter 20, in Acts 20, there in verse, Paul goes on in verse 28. Let's read verse 27. This is when Paul is speaking to the elders there at Ephesus, the Ephesian elders, and he's about to depart, and he's ministered to them for a time, and he has this encounter now that he has with them, and he shares his heart with them. And look what he says in verse number 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So Paul says to them, I haven't shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. I've actually preached it all to you. I've taught it to you. I haven't, you know, mishandled the word of God. I've just given it to you as it is. I've been faithful in that. But look what he says to them in verse 28. He gives them a warning. And he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. So he says, you know what, you know, take heed to the flock. Be careful. And it's the shepherd's responsibility to actually, you know, take heed, to make sure that there is no false teaching in. And you know what, we have this philosophy these days is that we're more concerned about having people in the pews and our numbers rather than upholding the pure word of God. You need to understand that, you know, there's this whole church growth philosophy that you can come in, and whether you believe in, you know, all the sign gifts, or whether you believe in this, or whether you believe in that, it's fine. We can all come together, and as long as people put off money in the offering, then the pastor's happy and everyone's all happy. And that's what we're going to see, that this is the character of the false teacher. He does not uphold the truth of God's word. They're more concerned about their back pocket, if I could say that, rather than the true word of God and actually pleasing the Lord. You could go to any church and you will find in all churches, in all these churches, unless the pastor and the leadership of the church uphold the word of God and stand firm on it, you will find false teachers within that church. And they will be in membership. And they'll be coming to your prayer meetings, and they'll be getting involved in the outreach. They'll be influencing your wife and your children. And this is where you have the leaven spread. And this is why we need to be careful of false teachers. And he says here that I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. And he says you need to be careful because they're going to come in. And look what he says to them in verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And the thing is this, if these grievous wolves come in and they're not going to spare the flock, how much we as Christians and as men of God need to kind of be aggressive when it comes to defending the faith. And I use aggressive not in a violent way, but we need to actually make sure that we know where we stand and we actually teach it, and we're not willing to bend or go either way. Do we get it? Because this is what's going to take place, is that Satan, he is aggressive. And he'll do anything it takes to destroy you as a Christian. You know what? You just submit to your flesh, as we spoke about the other day, and Satan will have a field day with your life. Do we understand that as Christians? And this is why our flesh is our enemy. And then we spoke about bitterness. You know, you can have bitterness within your heart, and it can spring up, and it can destroy you, and Satan will be sitting there laughing. And the reason why we as God's people need to preach and preach it firmly and boldly is because we are in a spiritual battle. And there's no way that we have time to kind of relax when it comes to the things of God. Because Satan doesn't have a holiday. And here, they're grievous wolves, entering among you, not sparing the flock. Also, listen to this, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So, sorry, brother, what is it?
Sorry. I've just got a slight problem here with this.
Lapel?
Yep.
Is it going somewhere?
It's rubbing or something.
I'll take my jacket off. It's all right. There we go. Yeah? Did you finish the jacket? IT, I love it. Technical issues. Is it better? That's better? Okay. I'll just talk, and if you need to come back and fix it, it's fine. And so here we see, he says in verse number... verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things. So you know what the emphasis is? That they're going to come from among you. And this is why we as God's people need to actually be discerning. So when somebody comes within the church and starts to share false doctrine or something that goes contrary to the word of God, we as God's people need to make sure that we put a stop to it, because then it will spread. Now let's go back to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter, I think if you, if all of us as the people of God, if we understand our enemy and we understand who he is and what he desires to do in your life, I think it will just kind of wake us up a little bit. We're always looking at what, oh, God is telling me all of these things that I need to do in my life. But God is telling you all of these things to do in your life. Do you know why? To protect you from the attacks of the flesh, the world, and the devil. And so we, as God's people, if we just stop to consider the love of God, but also that we start to fear the Lord and understand that God is a just God and a judge God, a holy God, and at the same time understand that, but then understand that we have an enemy who is unholy, who is a liar, who is a murderer. He's the accuser of the brethren. We need to understand, have a spiritual perspective on this as the people of God. Now in 2 Peter, we see he goes on and he says this, that it's sad because as these false teachers arise from among us, we see in verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So people, these wicked ways, these dangerous ways that they are actually, that many are going to follow them. And it's sad because we are living in a day where as we heard, that these false teachers will have many followings, many people to follow them. Do you know why? Because they're giving them what they want to hear. They're not preaching the whole counsel of God. And they'll leave out everything from the Word of God that's offensive, that won't make you comfortable. And so this is where you understand how deceptive these false teachers are. They're just going to tell you what you want to hear. Why? So that you can become a follower of them, not a follower of Christ. Now, if someone is telling you, follow me, follow me, follow me, that's a dead giveaway. But if someone is saying, look, this is what God says, we need to submit to what God's saying, and you must follow the Lord Jesus Christ and follow his word, then there's probably something that's right there. As long as they're handling the word of God right and not mishandling the words. The Jehovah Witnesses, they are false teachers. They'll knock on your door and they'll have a smile on their face and they'll be happy to spend as many hours as possible with you. And you think, now, these people are so friendly. It's, you know why? Because they need to accumulate their hours. Do you know that? Everyone needs to give a report to head office that they've done enough hours for the week. And so you think that these people are, you know, they're so loving and they're always around and they've always got some time for me. But you know what it was? It's the false teaching. So many people are led away by these false teachers and these false religions, because it's just, they come alongside of you and you don't know what you're getting into. It's like a trap. And what we see here is that many shall follow in verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Here the thing, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. You know what make merchandise means? They're going to make a profit from you. They're going to make money from you. And you got, you know, and can I just say it to you as well, this whole Pentecostal, the Hillsong chain and the C3 or whatever you want to call them, you know what they're doing? They're all after the money. You know, they'll come and you'll have like a 50-minute worship session and then you'll have a 10-minute chat and everyone would be laughing and making a joke and experience, but then when it comes to the time of the offering, serious now. Serious now. It's true. And that's been the testimony of the people that have come to our church, and they've said, you know, this is what we've noticed in these churches. It's because they're making merchandise of the people. The Hillsong brand, it's a brand, that's what it is. It's worth millions of dollars. And they're charging for their music and all the rest of it that takes place. And we understand that if you're going to make a CD and you want to sell it because you want to cover the cost, well, that's fine. It's up to you. But at the same time, it becomes a business. And if you're making merchandise of the people, then that's a problem. And this is a mark of a false teacher. A false teacher will never, ever, ever walk away from their position. Will never walk away from their position if it's making them money. And when you confront a false teacher with the Word of God, they will not move because they will rather their position, because it's making them comfortable and making them money, rather than them being true to the Word of God. This is how you can be discerning of this. And he goes on and he says this. He looks at their condemnation. And we must understand, although we are full of a world of false teachers, God knows their destruction and their end. Okay? So we need to be encouraged by that. Although we're faced with so many false teachings out there, and we're bombarded with it every single day through the internet, through the books that we read, through the people that we meet, at the same time we must understand that God is on the throne. And God knows their end. And here we see their condemnation, and he says in verse number 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned. So he goes on, and Peter uses some examples of how God judged. And he says this, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So he gives this example of the angels, the fallen angels, the ones that sinned with Satan, with Lucifer. And he goes on and he goes in verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So he uses the example of the angels, the fallen angels. He uses the examples of the flood. God did not spare those angels. God did not spare those people in the flood before Noah's day, where every man, the imagination and wickedness of heart of man was evil continually, the thoughts, continually. And God didn't spare that. He found Noah, a righteous man. And Noah preached and preached and preached, and they had opportunity after opportunity to get into the ark and believe on the Lord. But they chose not to. And so what did God do? He destroyed everything. And so he's using that example of the angels, he's using the example of the flood, and he goes on and he uses another example in verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And then he touches on the deliverance of Lot, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And he goes on and he says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So what is he saying? He's saying these ones, these false teachers, this is their end. And he gives the example, and he gives a clear example, three clear examples. The angels that fell. Secondly, Noah and the flood, the world that was before the flood was completely destroyed. Every person was taken, every living creature was gone. And Sodom and Gomorrah, although Lot was delivered, Sodom and Gomorrah was completely destroyed. And you know what he was saying? This is the end of these teachers. And it's also, you know, the end of those ones that do not believe in the Lord. Can I just encourage you today, if you are here without Jesus Christ, that's your end. It's destruction. And God is a God. Yes, He is a loving God. He is a just God that will judge, but He's a loving God who sent His Son over 2,000 years ago to pay the punishment for your sin and for my sin. This is the gospel, the good news. that God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, that's a wonderful message that we have. And all of us here are without excuse. You know, every single person that has ever lived, since Christ has come to the earth and shed His blood and was buried and rose again the third day, since that, every single person is without excuse when it comes to salvation. Now, you can look at somebody and say, at the life of a Christian, and say, If a Christian lives like that, then I don't want to be like that. And if a Christian has let you down, and you know what, you don't want to follow Jesus because some Christian has let you down, or some church has let you down, or whatever it is, can I just encourage you, look to Jesus. You're without excuse. You know, if you let me down as a fellow Christian in the Lord, I can look past you and look to Jesus, and I can rest upon His promises, and I can say, thank you, Lord, I'm forgiven. Thank you, God, you love me. Thank you, Lord, you promised that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Although all forsake me, I know that I can rest upon your promise, knowing that you will never leave me. You know, too many times we're looking at everybody else and we're making excuses why we don't live for Jesus or why we don't get saved. Many, 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 many people, how many times have you met somebody and said, you know, I don't want to be a Christian because, you know, my uncle so-and-so was a Christian and you should have seen the way he lived. But can I encourage you to tell that person, get your focus off these people and look to Jesus, the one whom died for you. He's the one that gave his life for you. You know, we serve a wonderful Lord, but you know, the one that died on that cross, that humbled Saviour that came, was born of a Virgin Mary, and then was, you know, in his humility, he died on that cross, a shameful death. He's the one that will come back and judge these false teachers. He'll condemn them and he will judge the ungodly world and anyone who is without him. And so this is where we'll see tonight, Lord willing, in chapter 3, how we're supposed to live in light of the judgment of God. And here we see that he clearly outlines these false teachers, and he starts with their condemnation. But if you continue on in reading this passage, he goes in verse number 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. And so here we see he's talking about the false teachers, but he's also talking about, you know, people like apostates who, you know, once upon a time they were exposed to the truth of God's word, but then you know what? They just don't want it anymore. And this is what he's referring to. He changes his tone and he starts to explain the character of these people. And these character of these people are just not just specifically about false teachers, but there are people who have known the truth, right? Who have heard the truth, and they've been in church, or they've grown up in a Christian home, but they've come a time in their life where they've just walked away from God. They have a knowledge of Him, never had salvation, but they've come to a point where they've just kind of standing against the truth. And instead of being a friend of God now, or a friend of Christianity, if you could say, they have actually become an enemy of Christianity. And he goes on and he explains that, and can I just encourage you, as you read this, think about the language that Peter uses to explain these people. And you know what he's saying? He's actually giving a stern warning about how fleshly these people are, how sinful they are, and how much, if you actually just take heed to his warning, that you would actually, as a Christian, be more discerning. Look at this. Look at the character of these people. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. And so this is what it is. Do you know what they are? They actually do the wicked deeds of the flesh. You know what? They're people who just submit to the flesh. They're sensual. They're actually controlled by the flesh. And this is what an unsaved person does. He's controlled or she's controlled by the flesh. Christ is not their master. And he goes on and he says, and despise government. So, you know, in regards to authority, they have no authority. They just cast it out. And we preach the sermon on submission. Do you know submission is so important in the Christian life? And your submission to authority is a picture or it's an indication of your submission to God. And here we see that these ones do not care about this. They despise government. Presumptuous are they. Self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And then he goes in verse 11, whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. And so he's saying, you know what, they have no idea or no concept, or they don't even really care about the authority that God has placed within their lives. And here they go on even to the spiritual authority. Look at me in Jude, please, if you take a look at that. These false teachers, they dabble in spiritual things. We must understand that. And so this is why you'll find that there would be this whole mesh of all of these different beliefs in one, as these teachers teach. In Jude, look there with me. I love how Jude and Peter, 2 Peter, are so just two parallel passages. And he speaks of these apostates or these false teachers, and he actually makes it clear that he actually says the same judgments. He goes in verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And so he's referring to the judgment of the angels as well. And he also refers to the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah there in verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh and set forth for an example suffering and vengeance of eternal life. And he goes on in verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominions, and speak evil of dignity. See how in Jude he's actually referring to what Peter's saying, and he's identifying these false teachers. He's not identifying their condemnation, but also their character and who they are as these ones that go and spread their false teaching. And he goes on in verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. You know, even Michael, he didn't want to bring an accusation against Satan. And you know what he said? The Lord rebuke thee. And you know what he's saying? He's taking his rightful place, even at the angelic world takes their rightful place before God. And we as Christians need to understand that these ones, these false teachers, they'll come to you and we're going to see how their claims, how they will promise you all of these things. And you know what they do as well? They come in the authority and in the name of Jesus. But you know what? It's another Jesus. It's another spirit. And you know what they do? They start to dabble in these things and they think that they're saved, but they're not. And ultimately, you know what they're opening themselves up to? Demonic activity. This is why it's a serious thing. These false teachers, that when I understand people that are saved and they preach a false doctrine, okay, that's one thing. They're still false teachers. But there are the false teachers on the other side that are not saved and they're teaching this doctrine. And you know what it's they've opened up to themselves? They've opened themselves to demonic activity. And it's actually a scary thing that people, what they get involved in once they open themselves up to these things. And this is the warning. You may meet some people that claim to be Christians that are involved in this kind of activity. You know what you're starting to fellowship with? You're starting to fellowship with Satan. You are. And you know, the thing is, Peter and the Lord and even Jude, they were very, very stern in the warning that they gave the people of God during that day. Do you know why? Because they didn't want God's people to open themselves up to this influence. Because evil communication corrupts good manners. You hang out with the person for long enough, you'll become like them. You need to understand that as Christian. And this is why separation is of utmost importance. You know, sometimes you think, well, you know what, some churches are so separate that and they think they're too good for everyone. No. Can I just say to you something? Is that the Word of God teaches us to stand and to be separated. And the Word of God teaches us to take heed to the warnings found within His Word and to go closer to God and further away from the flesh, from the world, from the devil. And as a result, we're not being influenced by these things. This is why we set up standards, safeguards in our lives, or boundaries that we say, you know what, I'm not going to cross that because I know what I'm capable of doing if I do. If you are a reader of the Bible, you will know that the Bible actually warns you. It has warning after warning after warning after warning, does it not? And so is that trying to tell us something? And don't you think that God knows best with your life? Can't He do best with your life? God knows best, and He's given us these warnings as a protection for us as Christians. And now, can I just in application to this, you know, watch out for the books that you're reading. Because in that book that you're reading comes a philosophy, and it's feeding you something. And in that book also comes maybe some false teaching. The videos that you're watching online, or the articles that you're reading online, the conversations that you're having, or anything that's coming in through the ears or the eyes, you just need to be very careful that you actually put kind of limitations to it and set your boundaries, because you could get caught up and continue to watch and feed yourself with these things and be led away with false doctrines. But we're led away by these false teachers. Now in 2 Peter, he goes on and he says this. He continues to describe them, their character. In verse 12, but these are natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. God is explaining them. And can I just say, when I say Peter's saying it, God inspired Peter to write this. So this is what God feels about it, okay? This is how God sees them. And you know what's amazing is that this is really just shows us that every person has a free will. God did not create these false teachers to teach false doctrine so that they could lead away people so that He could destroy them. God did not do that. These people have heard the truth at one point in their life and they've decided to reject the truth. This is why it's very dangerous, is when you have sit in church as an unregenerated person. When you sit in church and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, and you're constantly hearing the truth of God's Word, and you start to understand it in terms of knowledge, you have a knowledge of it, but never come to a point of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, you know what you open yourself up to? A point of becoming a false teacher. Can I tell you why? It's because you have a knowledge of the truth, but you've never ever accepted it. And what comes along is that you're just sitting there and you're going through the motions of just, you know, being a Christian, and you profess to know Jesus, but then you start to deny Him by your works. And you know, these kind of people, what they do is they're more accepting of the false teaching. And they're the ones that will come out of the church and they will be more aggressive against the church, and they'll be an enemy of the church that they used to go to, because they've never experienced salvation in Christ. And this is why, if you sit here week in, week out, and you become known to and familiar with the Christian faith, and you leave, be careful, you're opening yourself up to greater attacks. And we'll see this at the end of the chapter. But he sees this in it's very clear. As he talks about these people, God is making it clear that they're like animals that are ready to be destroyed. And they speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. This is their destruction. But their character, look, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. These are these kind of people. You know why? Because if you are not surrendered to God, if you're not saved and surrendered to God, you know what you're living? You're living in the flesh. So everything that the flesh wants to do, you will do. And this is why you see many people who have been church leaders of cults or of just ones that preach false doctrine. You see them that they usually their end is either they've committed adultery, or they've gone into more just terrible sins. Adultery is terrible anyway, but just, you know, the fleshly sins. And so what he's saying here is just be careful, because this is what they, if you just identify the false teacher, you know that they will fall into some kind of sin. Beguiling unstable souls, and that's what they are, and heart that they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, covetous. They're just greedy. They just want more, more, more. Do you know why? Because they're governed by the flesh. That's why. You know, think about you as an unsaved person. Who was ruling your life as an unbeliever? Me. I was ruling my life as an unbeliever. So I was doing everything that my flesh wanted. True? And you were doing everything that your flesh wanted. And so the only thing that is actually delivering us from our flesh is the Spirit of God that dwells in us, and us to understanding that we are dead to sin and we don't have to live any longer therein, and we have victory in Christ as we yield to the Spirit of God. But if you have not the Spirit and you have all of this authority under the banner of Jesus Christ and under the banner of the Word, you know what ends up taking place? You actually start to, take advantage of your, or abuse your authority. And this is where the flesh is just manifested in such a greater way. And we as Christians need to take check of our flesh as well, because it just continuously comes off. And this is why we're talking about putting off and putting on. If we're going to contend for the faith, it's going to be a constant struggle. It's going to be a constant battle in the Christian life. This is what we're coming up against. And you know what? Can I just say as well and just encourage you that we're all on the same boat, are we not? We're all dealing with this. We're all experiencing this. And this is why we as God's people need to be an encouragement and a blessing one to another. In verse 15, which have forsaken the right ways and are gone astray, following the ways of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And he goes on and he speaks about Balaam, and that he was rebuked by a donkey. You know the story about that? And he was just being covetous. He wanted gain. He was just thinking of himself. And you know, when I first read that account of Balaam, I thought, oh, what did he do wrong? He received the word of the Lord and he went. But no, he didn't. He did it for his own gain, for his own advantage. And this is what the false teachers and the apostates do. They want everything. It's all about me, myself, and I. Can I just ask you, who are you serving in this church? Who are you serving? And you know, the thing is, we as God's people need to understand that we are made out of the same stuff of these false teachers. We're all flesh. And we all go through the same things. But ultimately, you know what takes place? It's like, who am I serving, and why am I serving him? And this is where we need to get perspective as Christians, is that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't serve our flesh. And the reason why we're serving him is for his glory. Are we not? Do we not? And so that was what we see here. It's like, all as we see these warnings, just remember that although you look at these people and you know, you identify the false teachers and you see their character and you know their condemnation, you know, just be mindful of what the flesh is all about. Be mindful that you as a believer can fall into sins like adultery and fornication and all of these different sins of the flesh. You are capable of committing the same sins. And so let it be a warning to us that we have this enemy of the flesh, but also as we see their end and as we see just their destruction, let us be thankful for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ as well. You know, when you look at this, you just thank the Lord that by His grace and mercy that He saved us, and that we haven't become one of these false teachers. You know, it's just by the grace of God we stand as Christians, is it not? And as we're looking at this, just take heed to the warning of who they are, their character, and what they consider their end. You know, Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. And so this is where we as God's people can be discerning, and we can say, well, this we can understand, we can take a look at it through the lens of Scripture and say, yeah, I can see that this person is taking the Word of God, mishandling it for his own gain, and so I'm just going to stay away. In verse 17, look at their claims, okay? This is where we're going to look at their claims. In verse 17, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. We read this in Pastor Ringwald, Brother Ringwald taught it in Jude. You know, these apostates, these false teachers, they're like wells without water. If you're thirsty and you're going to a well in the biblical time and you wanted a drink of water and there's nothing there, and they're like clouds and you're a farmer and all of a sudden you're like waiting for the rain and there's no rain coming. It's just, you know, just they just flow over. This is what they are. This uses these descriptions of them. And in verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, these words, empty words, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. You know what they're doing? They're speaking empty words, but do you know what they're doing? They're alluring. They put out a lure. You know, like when you go fishing, you put out and you just wait? This is what they do. But they do it with their great swelling words. You know, you come to a church like Northside, and some people say, well, you know what, the preaching is so strong here, and the application is so strong. But you know why it is? Because your pastor is standing on the Word of God. Think about what we've just read, and what he's just saying about these people. These are warnings. And he's saying to them, after I give you all of these warnings, listen, after I give you all of these warnings, I just want you to go and spend time with them at the pub. Or I want you to go to their churches, or I want you to go to their Bible study groups. Is he encouraging them to go closer and closer to them? Or is he encouraging them to move further and further and further away from them? Which one? Oh, you are such an intelligent bunch. So intelligent. But why is it that we as Christians move closer and closer to them? Do you know why? Because they're telling us what we want to hear. They're putting out a lure. They're alluring us. And so what they're doing, they're putting out these traps. That's what they are. They're just traps. We inherited chickens. And my parents went away for a few months overseas, and we had to take on their chickens and their quails. And I was so glad for them to come back and me to return these chickens and these quails. Because you know what happened? A family of rats decided to move into our area, into our home. And it was just, we were working overtime in trying to, trap these rats, and we were looking after everything. And then we found these rat traps, and then we found out that they liked icing on cake. So we put a lot of icing on the cake, and then we were watching them, and we put them out. And it was a Sunday afternoon, actually. We were sitting there, and we put them out. And all of these rats came, and I was shocked. We got heaps of them. I thought there was one, two, three, but there were a whole family, and they were running around, and they were running, and they were like playing, getting so close to the rat trap. And this is what Christians do. You know, Satan puts out a trap. And you know what? It's always appealing to your flesh. Okay, this is how he gets to you, your flesh. You have a desire. He knows, you know, he's watched for a time, and he knows you come to a good church and you're getting good preaching. But then he's trying to work out with all his demons, listen, this is true, where you stand and where your weakness is. And you know what he does? He sits patiently like a rat trap. He doesn't move. And you know, he just waits. And we saw these rats just running and running, and there was this little rat, and he was getting really close, and then we just left it. And we came back the next day, and this poor little rat, he's a little one, he was a baby one, he's very cute. You know what got stuck? His foot. He must have touched it with his foot. Just a little bit. He was running past. He didn't even get it with his mouth, so he didn't even get a taste of it. But you know, be warned, Christian. You're probably tiptoeing too close to the rat trap or Satan's trap. Do you understand? Because you know what happens is that we, as God's people, we'll read a book and we'll just say, oh, well, do you know what? I like what they're saying. I like their approach. But not discerning. You'll watch a video and you'll say, well, I like their teaching. And this is the problem with COVID, I find, is that too many people are going online to watch it. And praise God for online resources. We understand that they're a blessing. But when it comes to the local New Testament church, God always intended us to gather together. And we understand those ones that are sick and they can watch along. That's a blessing, that's a benefit. But where in the Bible does it say that we do not assemble together as a local assembly? And why do we do that? It's because to get fed, so that we get warning. So think about it. If you miss out on church for a couple of weeks, right? Satan knows your weakness now. Or if you stop walking with God for a few days because you get busy doing something, work interrupts you and, you know, you stop reading your Bible, stop praying, stop seeking the Lord, what happens? And now you become weak. And now Satan knows that he's going to get you. And you know what's sad is this, is that many people have left good churches and they've gone and they've just taken a break from church, so to speak, for a couple of months. And they've gone and they've watched or read something and then they've gone and said, well, I can't go back to that church because I don't like what they teach anymore. And then they'll find the author, they'll track down the author and their recommendation of the congregation that they need to go to, and they become a part of that congregation in that church. And you know what's even worse is that they start hating on. But what is it? You're the problem. You're the one that actually submitted to the flesh. You're the one that followed that false teacher. It's not nobody else's problem but yours. You've chosen that. And so what here we see is a stern warning. And the sad thing is that people think that it's better on the other side, or the grass is greener on the other side. That's the whole mentality. But you know, at the end of the day, when you go to those establishments, if you want to say, or those places where they teach false teaching, those people are going to let you down. You know, when the situation with Brian Houston, when it happened with Hillsong, people have left the Hillsong church and praise, I don't want to call it church, Hillsong brand. They've left the Hillsong brand and praise be to God for that. But what did they expect? They idolized the man. They worshipped him rather than worshipping the Lord. And you know what? Worship is not us doing 50 minutes of, you know, CCM, Christian Contemporary Music, where we're actually dimming the lights and we're getting emotional. You know, I've had times where I've been at music festivals before I got saved. And I have had the most epic out-of-body experiences and I thought I was worshipping something. Same environment. Dimmed lights, wonderful music, blaring from the speakers and this voice that's coming through, and you got all of these people that are just experiencing the same thing as you, and you know what? They're lifting up their hands, but they're not speaking in tongues. They're singing along, and you know what it is? I can experience the same thing in Hillsong that I'm experiencing at a music festival. I was saved from that. And so why would I go to a church where I could get the sensual, the fleshly appetite fed and get my emotions touched, when I would just can go to a music festival and just spend time there? The Word of God is what is going to uphold us in this day of apostasy. That is it. And so if you are feeling uncomfortable with the Word of God, the problem is your heart with the Lord. Your problem is not with the preacher or the messenger that's just sending out the word. The Word of God is your problem. And you know what that means? God is your problem. And are you willing to take it up with God? Why is it that you, when you attack, you know, the Word of God, the preacher and the Word, you know what you're doing? You're ultimately saying, God, I'm attacking you. I have a problem with you. And so this is where we as God's people need to be solid in God's Word and grounded in God's Word. Take heed of these false teachers, because you know why? They're very subtle. They will allure you. And you know what it does? Can I just say to you as well this? How did Satan get Eve? He mixed truth with error.
That's right.
Did he not? Yay, hath God said. And he made her doubt the word of God and the goodness of God and the blessings of God. And so, and you know what it is? It's just, he was just appealing to her flesh. It's good for you to eat. It's good for the eyes and it will make you wise. And he has not changed. That's how he's alluring you. And this is how the false teachers do it. They'll teach you the truth. And you know what? They will even, you know, just be careful, because when you go on YouTube and you watch a preacher, you, and this is how Satan will operate. He'll give you a good solid message, right? A good solid message. And you've read about the preacher and you think, oh well, I heard that he has some funny doctrine there. But I listened to this message and it was solid. And you listen to another message and it's solid. And you listen to another message and it's solid. And then you listen to a fourth message and he just puts in error in it. But you know what? Oh, but I really like what he said about this and all that. And you know what they've done? They've actually made you feel comfortable in the environment that you're actually now listening to him. Satan is very, very, very deceptive. He's very subtle. And he comes as a roaring lion. But what does it say in Corinthians? How, what does he come as? His ministers come as what? Angels of light. And he knows which tactic will work better for you. He'll come as an angel of light at first, and then bang, as he's got you, he'll come as a roaring lion and devour you. That's the enemy that we have. And this is why we as God's people, as we contend for the faith, we need to be very sharp with the word of God. And please, 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 do not take advantage, and do not take for granted, the blessing of a good Bible-believing church. And what we see here is that these ones, what they do is in verse 19, and this is the saddest thing, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. You know what they say? Come, follow me, and I'll give you liberty. You know what? Stop going to that strict independent Baptist church and you'll be free. And they'll say it with a lovely smile. You can do whatever you want. That's good to do whatever you want if you want to, like, destroy your life. Okay? But the Bible says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. And so what we as Christians need to understand is that these people, they offer you freedom. And you know what's really sad as well? When you see people trying to play rescuer with, say, the pastor's children or the homeschool children within the church. You play rescuer. And you come alongside that child and goes, your mummy and daddy, you know, you've been neglected all your life. You haven't experienced this and you haven't experienced that and you haven't experienced... And you know what they do? They say they actually work it out to kind of deliver you, play rescuer from your family. And it happens. And they make promises to you, and what takes place? You know, the thing is this, it's so sad because nobody could care for you more than your parents. As a child, if you grow up in a Christian home, you have so much love. Your parents have so much love for you if they're raising you up in the Lord. And are they going to get it wrong? Yes. They're just humans, right? Are they going to make mistakes? Yes. But if they're wholeheartedly raising you up for God, then you just be thankful, because one day someone's going to come to you, and it may be that person that's become, once was coming to the church and all of a sudden is growing bitter, and they'll come alongside you and they'll promise you freedom. Freedom from what? You know what they're freeing you from? The Word of God. Because if you're taught the Word of God, they're freeing you from the Word of God. And if they're freeing you from the Word of God, you know what ultimately that's going to be? The destruction. Your destruction. There is, if you compare, and there's many people here that have been saved from the world. But if you compare, you know, the life that you live as a Christian and the life that you live as an unsaved person, and in that kind of sin and in that lifestyle, you know what freedom is? Keeping God's Word. Your protection is keeping God's word. Because you know the thing is, you think you're deceived. You think, oh, well, you know what? If I just go and do whatever I want. If you do whatever you want, it's going to actually affect your life. It's going to scar you for the rest of your life. And so God's given us his word for our protection. And when these people come up to you and they're promising you these things, and they're going to promise you liberty. Liberty. You have liberty. You're free to do whatever you want. You know, we all have a free will. But God says to us, if you love me, keep my commandments. And God says to us, live this way so that I can make sure that your life is blessed and that you are actually protected and that you don't have to reap the consequences of your sin and of your flesh nature. And these ones, look at this, they promise you, promise them liberty. They themselves are the servant of corruption. They're hypocrites. You know, they don't even have liberty. You know who they're in bondage to? They're in bondage to their flesh, to themselves, to Satan. So why would you choose bondage to the flesh, self, Satan, instead of, you know, being in submission and a bond slave or a servant of Jesus Christ? Makes no sense. See? So Jesus is offering you freedom from your sinful life and from your flesh, and these ones are offering you freedom from God and from his word to submit to your flesh. And we see here, and this is a warning in verse 20. Look at here. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter is worse with them than the beginning. Now many people use this passage and say you can walk away from your faith. You can lose your salvation. But the passage isn't teaching that. These ones had a knowledge of God. They had a knowledge of the Savior. And you know what they did? They actually were acquainted with the Lord. In the sense that, you know, they came to church and they were around God's people and they actually, you know, learnt the things of God and they learnt the Word of God. But they never, ever, ever, ever had the new life. They were never born again. And he says this, look at this. Let's read it together. In verses 21 and 22, after 2, 1, 2, for it had been better. Thank you very much. Well read. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. So they knew the way of righteousness. They knew the way. After they have known it, to turn from the holy commandments. So they knew the way. And you can know the commandments. You can know how to live as a Christian. Okay, but then you can know how to live as a non-believer as well. If you are surrounded in an environment of Christianity, but never, ever, ever been born again, you're going to learn the way. You're going to know the commandments. You're going to know this. But you know what he says? He uses these two illustrations. As a dog, when he vomits, he returns there. And as a pig that's washed from the blood, washed from the mud, where's he going to go back? Because his nature is still a dog and he's still a pig. Do you get it? So this is the whole idea. And this is a warning for all of us. When you go to church and you actually live out the Christian life, but you've never ever come to a knowledge of God, it's going to be very, very hard for you. It'll be hard for you. You could either become so apostate that you become a false teacher, but not only that, you know what takes place? You will be carried away by these false teachers. You'll be carried away by your flesh. And you know what? This is a warning for the young people in this church. You know, you can grow up in a Christian home and you could have maybe prayed a sinner's prayer a long time ago, but never ever repented. Repentance is towards God. You know what it is? That means that I have a change of mind and I realize that I have offended God when it comes to my sin. And now I need to have a point where I actually say my sin is against God and I'm going to be willing to turn and place my faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and that's when salvation comes. And so let me just encourage you. Maybe it's been that you have grown up in a Christian home but never ever come to a point of salvation. Maybe even you've been in church and you've been coming to this church for 1 or 2 or 3 or 6 years, but you know in your heart that you never have received the Lord. Because you can deceive yourself. And we praise the Lord that salvation, you know what it is? Salvation is even a little child. It's as simple as trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior from your sin. But we understand that we can actually deceive ourselves in this area. So I want to encourage you, if you've never ever made a commitment to the Lord in that way, that maybe you have, you've just been going through the motions of the Christian life, but never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I just want to encourage you to trust the Lord. Because it's easy for you, when you get older and when you get away from your spiritual protection, or when you get away from a good church, you know what takes place? You will return to your vomit, and you will return as a pig returns to the mud. And you know, in this whole message, as he looks at their condemnation and their claims and their character, you know what you're getting? You're getting a warning of how serious it is to profess to know Jesus, but not to know him. This is what the false teachers do. They profess. You know why? Of course they profess. You know why? They came from among them. They were part of your fellowship. They were part of your assembly. And so what takes place is they're among you, and they've actually come in, and they come in surreptitiously. They've just secretly come in, and you know, they come in, and that's what it says the Bible teaches. And you know what happens in Galatians? They come in. Go with me to Galatians to show you that. And we'll finish here in Galatians. In chapter 2, verse 4, and we'll close with this. And this is important, because what happens is they are professors. They claim to know Jesus, and they become a part of you and everything, and then all of a sudden what takes place is that they're never born again. And then, even worse, they become false teachers and they oppose the work of God. And here we see in Galatians 2 verse 4. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. You know, when Paul was writing to the Galatian church, he was saying, you know, these false brethren unawares, they come in. And they're spying you out. And you know, these kind of people, they become the enemy. They do. You know why? Because they're doing the work of the enemy. And you know what they do? They become a greater threat. The greater threat to your congregation than anybody else. Because they know you, they've fellowshiped with you, they know the people within that church. And so, brethren, can I just encourage you, warning of the false teachers. You just be careful of them. And you know what they do, these false teachers, they're false professors. And as false professors, they are just submitting to their lusts. And as a result, they will become very destructive with the false teaching, and they will lead many, many people away. I know there's not much positive about this message today. But what can I just encourage you with? Listen, we are fighting the battle. And as we've heard throughout the lessons in camp, that it's just not time for us to be comfortable and to, you know, sit on our comfy chairs and put our feet up. We need to be discerning in our day. And Satan is our enemy, and he is an enemy that is just full force. He wants to destroy your home. He wants to destroy your church. And he'll do anything it takes to destroy your life. And we as God's people need to actually take heed to the warnings that we see within the scriptures. And here in 2 Peter 2, and I want to encourage you to read it yourself, in another time, that you see clear warnings given and also in Jude regarding these false teachers. Let's thank you for listening. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for the warnings found in your word. And Lord, how sober it is to know that the false teachers do come from among us. And I pray, Lord, that you would protect us as a church. And also, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would really just build a hedge of protection around this church and help us, Lord, to help them to stand firm in these days. We just do pray, Lord God, that we would be discerning and that would identify these teachers and that we would actually move away from them and not be allured by their traps, Lord. But I pray that you would help us to stand in these wicked days. In Jesus' name, amen.